Liam. Morning, Liam.
Oh, Stephen, I was just thinking when I was listening to your programme there, the rapist doesn't be killed. So why should the baby who's innocent and all of this be killed? A baby comes into this world and it only knows one thing, to love.
Well, the question, Liam, is when does life begin? That's a key question in all of this.
The thing, Stephen, is if you're in hospital...
Is it at the point of conception?
And you're dying, one of the things they look for is heartbeat. So if there's a heartbeat in the womb, that child is alive. So, and as far as fetal abnormalities are concerned, you see a lot of wrong decisions by the medical profession. Here, they paid out something like $160 million and 3,000 cases pending, which they reckon will cost $121 million. There's $300 million in negligence payments.
Yeah, so, obviously not related to fetal abnormality.
No, but the thing I'm trying to say here is that's mistakes. So sometimes a judgment but a fetal abnormality could be wrong.
So you think that the victim of rape, a woman who has been raped, should be forced against her will, if that is her decision, to have a baby of a rapist?
No. Well, it's exceptional circumstances and very difficult. But and in all of it, the baby's still innocent. You know. It's a sort of an indictment of society that abortion exists at all. That here, it's very easy to put the gun to somebody else's head, but it's a different story when the gun's aiming at your head to make decisions about life and death. And especially...
There's a class distinction in all of this, isn't there? Because for those people who can afford to travel to England, they can do that. They can get up, they can get on a plane, they can travel to England where they can have an abortion. Meanwhile, people who cannot afford that flight, who cannot afford all of the expenses associated with going to England for an abortion and would otherwise need it here, they can't do it. They don't have the money.
But is it not an indictment of society that people would do that at all? That here a child that's innocent, that comes into this world, that only knows to love, and here we want to kill it?
Well, the judge suggested in his ruling, Mr. Justice Horner, suggested that prosecution shouldn't happen anyway in fetal abnormality cases and sexual crime cases under the existing law, which dates back to the 19th century. He didn't actually say it shouldn't happen. He is asking the question as to whether it should happen or not. Because the judge has actually given participants in the case a further opportunity to make submissions on this point before concluding his review. But he's certainly raising the question as to whether it should happen or not. David in Belfast. Morning, David.
Good morning, Stephen. I just find this High Court ruling an abomination because, yet again, adults' human rights are protected more than children's rights. No matter what, if a woman is pregnant, that child deserves a life no matter what, and no one should have the right to kill a child. No ifs, no buts.
Here's a Belfast caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us your story. Thank you for talking to us.
Okay. When I was 13, I was raped, and I conceived as a result of that rape. And it was all very traumatic. My parents, being God-fearing Christians, coerced me into having an abortion, and I had to go to England for that. Then I had to come back and go back to school the very next day, and it was all brushed under the carpet, and my parents just thought that we could just forget about it. But fast forward 37 years and I realised I was suffering from post-abortion trauma. And because I was never able to forget about the abortion, about the son that I'd lost. Now, it wasn't the trip to England that caused me all my strife during those years, and it wasn't the rape itself, it was the abortion that caused the trauma. So I'd just like to say to women today, that they should think twice. There is life after rape. There's, you can put the baby up for adoption. You can keep the child. You can love it. I could have loved my son. I know that now. Even though he was conceived through rape, I could have loved him.
First of all, thank you for calling us. My goodness, I deeply appreciate it, okay? So
yes.
Thank you. And you can give us an insight into this case when many commentators who will come on and off this programme cannot.
Yes.
So at the age of 13,
yeah.
You are raped.
Yes.
So you have experienced that horrendous, horrendous moment.
No, well, the most horrendous thing was the abortion. The rape I've been able to get over, the trip to England, not a problem. And I really believe that Sarah Urett is suffering from post-abortion trauma. I don't think it was a trip to England. I don't think it's got anything to do with the trip to England. I think women are leaving themselves wide open to a lifetime of suffering.
Well, we need to be careful about judging about others, don't we?
Yeah.
Because I guess Sarah,
but I'm just in a plight to save other women from taking these decisions to abort their children, especially after rape. I know many people now through social media, all over the world. I've met people in person who have been conceived in rape, went on to be born. They were very much loved. They're leading very fulfilled lives. They're living happy lives, and some, yes, were put up for adoption. Some were kept by their mothers, but they were loved. They were loved in life, and they're living very fulfilled lives now. And I just wish I could turn the clock back and I had kept my son.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
When you were raped at 13 years of age, mm-hmm. So you know what it feels like emotionally to be violated in that way.
Yes.
So, therefore, with that knowledge, do you not think that a woman should have the choice? Because clearly, you're saying that you wish you had made a different choice with the benefit of hindsight. And you were 13 years of age. So there's no blame on you whatsoever.
Yeah, I didn't make the choice.
Your parents. But do you not think that when you know what it feels like to be raped, violated in that way,
yes, do you take the again? The perpetrator, he went unpunished. I was punished.
But do you take the right
to have an abortion?
But do you take the right away from a woman who has been raped to make a decision for herself?
Yes, I don't think any baby should be aborted after rape. I think the woman's being violated again, that she's being persecuted again and being robbed of the chance of having that beautiful life. And the opportunity to have that baby now.
And how is the woman not being violated again by someone forcing a decision upon her against her will rather than letting her decide?
Yes, but you're taking a life. The perpetrator for me went unpunished. My child was taken away from me. I was the one that ended up being punished for 37 years until I got help. Now, that wasn't for the want of trying to get help. I went to see psychologists, psychiatrists, doctors. Nobody could help me, and the health service was useless. Nobody could help me. And 6 years ago, I went to seek help from an 8-week program called Surrendering in Secret. It's offered by Stantown Baptist Church, and it was there that I realised for the first time that I was suffering from post-abortion trauma. Now, if there's anything I could say today to your listeners, please don't do that to yourself. Please do not take the decision ever to have an abortion for any reason, because that post-abortion trauma is terrible. It's the most terrible thing that you could ever, a woman could ever suffer from, the loss of a child. I'm listening. I'm on a Facebook site called I Regret My Abortion. It's a closed group, and I hear from people all the time from different backgrounds all over the world, who are writing in saying they regret their abortion, their lives are finished. Why did they ever do it? They shouldn't have done it. They've lost everything. Because they lost their child, they lost everything. And that's called I Regret My Abortion. So I'm not coming at it from any other point of view other than there are people who regret their abortions very much.
And there are people who don't. And there are people who know that it was the right thing for them.
Well, that remains to be seen, Stephen.
Well, it doesn't remain to be seen, does it? As sincere as your view is, and as you hold that view deeply for yourself, you would concede that there are other women who have had abortions who, with the benefit of hindsight, feel it was the right thing to do. That's got to be the case.
I don't think so. I think it always comes back to bite you years later. Even if you're able to subdue those thoughts about, you know, what you've done and all the rest, I don't see how on earth that can happen. And if you're not regretting it, then maybe somebody involved in there's a wave effect when an abortion happens. And sometimes that can be a grandparent, a partner, an aunt, an uncle, a friend who maybe coerced you into having the abortion. And I've, again, met many, many people who've been involved as friends, as grandparents, who have coerced, who've paid for abortions, and the regret is there.
Okay.
And listen, I know these people.
Listen, thank you very much indeed for talking to us today. There's a lady who was raped at the age of 13. Very, very personal, sensitive stuff this morning on air. Karen, morning, Karen.
Morning.
Go ahead, Karen.
I just wanted to say I'm absolutely appalled that to say that I'm from Northern Ireland. Between abortion and not allowing gay people to get married, it's absolutely vile to even sometimes say that you're from Northern Ireland. All I hear is a lot of Christians, a lot of old men making decisions for women, and they have no idea. You know, there's thousands of women every year have to travel to England under horrendous circumstances, and I applaud that lady for starting all this up. Regardless of why someone goes, it's a tough decision to make, and they don't do it out of their own free will. There's a lot of discussion. A lot of doctors have to agree to termination. But all I hear in living in Northern Ireland, we're quite happy to be part of Great Britain, but we won't put all the rules in that Great Britain has as well. Nobody's saying it opens the floodgate for people just to have termination when there's abortion pills and everything else. It's a bit hypocritical.
Yeah, but what Simon Hamilton, the health minister, was saying this morning, Karen, is that he's concerned that judges are deciding what happens in Northern Ireland, unelected judges, rather than elected representatives.
Well, half the time people elect people and they don't even read what it is they're electing for. I mean, at the end of the day, it's orange flag or a green flag at most people. They don't even read a party policy as to what the ins and outs are. I know people that vote, for example, DUP, that are in favour of gay marriage. I mean, it's a mockery. Fair play to the judges to come in. I only wish they would come in on other topics as well, because obviously our government, there's a vast amount of people in Northern Ireland don't even attend church. And for to come on and hear people being verbally abused and mentally abused outside abortion clinics, that's breaching human rights. Nobody can turn around and judge someone on the basis of what I would do. Nobody's in that situation until it comes to their own door. Then they can make a decision. And it's really unfair and really detrimental to Northern Ireland when you sit. It's as if we live in biblical times. Don't live in biblical times.
Okay.
2015.
Karen, thank you. Fiona in Belfast. Morning, Fiona.
Hi, Stephen.
Go ahead, Fiona.
Fiona Ferguson, People for Profit in North Belfast. I just wanted to first of all respond to Simon Hamilton's talking about the clarification being handed over the executive and how he took his time, painstaking time over it, and how he hopes that it'll be out soon. And just to clarify, that's not good enough, because I met myself with the Family Planning Association in City Hall at the end of the summer, and they talked to us about how medical staff, doctors and nurses across Northern Ireland struggle because there's no clarification with current legislation, and that's been going on for years, so that women who might actually clarify for abortions, few as they may be under current legislation, won't actually receive these abortions.
Well, people have been asking for new guidelines for many, many years. The health minister says he's now distributed draft new guidelines, finally distributed them.
And I think you were right in saying that we need to question whether this timing is coincidental. Simon Hamilton said that he doesn't think that unelected judges should make this decision rather than elected politicians. And why is he leaving it until he is forced to produce legislation when unelected judges create decisions in the courts to force him to do so?
And Ian, morning, Ian.
Good morning to you.
Go ahead. Let's take lots of your calls here this morning while we're waiting for Jim Allister to come up. Go ahead, Ian.
Two remedies, maybe. One is, why not have a female-only referendum on the question? Because, after all, it's the PMO's choice. Men should not bully people into doing things that they don't want. So run a female-only referendum asking the female population of Northern Ireland, do they want relaxation on abortion?
Well, why should it be females only in a referendum? You don't deny the right of a father or a man to have a view on this. Remember that there are two people often involved in this, Ian.
There are two people involved, and you've got an increase in single-parent mother families.
Okay, so, Ian, thank you. Tom and Ballymoney. Morning, Tom.
Stephen, how are you?
Go ahead.
What if the doctors are wrong? Like, I would love, like, if a doctor said that, yes, your baby, well, they don't even call it a baby, but your baby has a fetal abnormality and it will not survive out of the womb. I go, right, bet your house on it. Because, like, at one point, the greatest minds in the world thought that the earth was flat, and then they were proved wrong. Then they said the atom was the smallest thing possible, until they split it open and found this other stuff flowing out of it. So for our limited knowledge of science now, what if they're wrong? And they've just murdered an unborn baby that could have survived. Like, we don't know what science and medicine will produce tomorrow. So for all we know, you could be leading a story tomorrow that, right, we've just cured cancer. But hey, you know, so we don't know what way it's going to work. So give the babies a chance. If they live for 5 minutes... Like, I've tried to get on your program so many times, Stephen. I have carried a coffin of two babies, two twin girls that were 20 weeks old who when the mother miscarried. And it was terrible seeing them, fully formed babies that have died, but you can still abort at 20 weeks. And so saying, just please give the babies a chance. There's plenty of people out there who would love to have a child. And I know people who would love to have a child but can't. So if I am pleading with mothers, if you find yourself that you can't continue with the pregnancy, think about adoption even. And I know it might be a flippant comment to just think about adoption, but there's other ways that you don't have to just terminate your baby.
Patricia Nardoyne. Morning, Patricia.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
I have a sister who had a baby born with fetal abnormality. And my brother-in-law held that wee baby and willed it to live. And it was a beautiful baby, beautiful, beautiful baby. And it eventually died. But at least they held the baby. They loved it and they had to part with it. You know, and for these people and for that woman there to talk down to the people in Northern Ireland, who does she think she is? She's not a mother, in my estimation. Or,
well, you don't know if she's a mother or not.
Well, that's beside the point, Stephen.
Well, then don't say it.
Well, I suppose so. Anyway, Stephen, I'm very, very disappointed myself in this judgment too, like a lot of other people, because a baby has the right to life from the moment of conception.
Patricia, thank you. Ella in Belfast. Morning, Ella.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I just would like to say I haven't cared for a baby for years. Then I've been told I can't have one. I can't get pregnant. In my eyes, abortion is murder. If a woman was raped, put the child up for adoption. There's people crying out for babies.
No matter what psychological impact it has on the woman?
Put it up for abortion. Put it up for adoption.
What if it drives that woman to suicide?
Stephen, there's help out there for that.
And what if the help and the expert opinion is that lady should not have a child, that the impact would be so detrimental to her mental health that it would drive her to a very good chance of suicide? Would you still force her to have that baby and put the mother's life at risk, would you?
Well, personally, myself, I'm in deep depression. because I can't have children. Like I said, I've been trying for years and now I've been told I can't have them.
Hello, thank you. Hamilton and Dromara. Morning, Hamilton.
Hello, Stephen. Stephen, there's another aspect to this of an abortion. A baby that is ripped from within a woman before it comes into this world as a human being, that baby is being denied the right in the Christian church then of an afterlife. A baby can't have an afterlife if it's not born. So Christians would believe that baby then will never have a place in heaven.
Hamilton, thank you very much indeed.